This is Archive Atlanta, episode 261, Atlanta International Pop Festival.
You're listening to Archive Atlanta, a history podcast where each week I'll be sharing a story about the people, places, and events that shape the history of the city of Atlanta. I'm your host, local tour guide, and total history nerd, Victoria Lamos.
Hey everyone, happy Friday. So this week I am talking about Atlanta's International Pop Festival, a concert held in July of 1969, the first of its kind in the South. And while it took place 20 miles south of Atlanta proper, everything about the festival was rooted in this city. So let's start with a brief history of rock festivals in the United States. This story starts first internationally with the very first jazz festivals being held around 1951. The first three of these only played jazz, but the fourth, which was the Jazz and Blues Festival of 1964, kicked off the shift of incorporating some blues and pop into the lineup. By 1965, the event included more blues, pop, and rock than jazz, and then by 1966, rock and pop dominated. The first two rock festivals in the United States were held in Northern California in the summer of 1967. They were the KFRC Fantasy Fair and Magic Mountain Music Festival, held June 10th and 11th, and then the famous Monterey International Pop Festival, which was held the following weekend. By 1969, promoters were staging dozens of festivals. Atlanta writer Bill Markin says, quote, "It would not be an exaggeration to say that, over a few short years, rock festivals played a unique, significant, and underappreciated role in fueling the counterculture shift that swept not only America, but many other countries during the 1960s. It seems fitting that one of the most enduring labels for the entire generation of that era was derived from a rock festival, the Woodstock generation," end quote. To talk about the Atlanta International Pop Festival, we have to start with Alex Cooley. Cooley was born in Atlanta in 1939, and he lived with his family in a series of places all around today's Old Fourth Ward. He attended the former Grady High School in the 1950s, and then later the University of Georgia and Georgia State University, eventually dropping out of both. By the 1960s, he is listed as a salesman, and by 1968, he was the manager of Papa's Pizza Parlor in Buckhead. After attending the 1968 Miami Pop Festival with his friends, he returned to Atlanta determined to put on his own music festival. Turns out there were at least three men here who were also planning a similar festival, and Alex joins forces, and together they gathered investors, and it was a team of about 17 people credited with organizing the first rock festival in the Deep South, 6 weeks before the famous Woodstock. The first mentions of the festival hit the newspapers in May of 1969, referencing the event specifics. July 4th and 5th at the Atlanta International Raceway in Hampton, Georgia, with two-day tickets costing $12.50. In June, promoters held a press event at the Marriott Motor Hotel, and local reporter wrote about how well it was done. And he says, quote, "If they can do a concert like this press event, they'll be very rich," end quote. Campers started setting up on Friday night, and over the weekend, more than 100,000 people watched performances from Blood, Sweat, and Tears, Booker T and the MGs, Canned Heat, Chicago Transit Authority, Creedence Clearwater Revival, Dave Brubeck, Grand Funk Railroad, Janis Joplin, and Led Zeppelin, just to name a few. It was hot and sunny, with temperatures reaching 100 degrees. One attendee compared the two-day festival to Moses' journey through the desert. There were 1,000 people who were treated for heat exhaustion. Many of them found some refuge in like a really small little pond lake that was on a farm. And it's afterward that the farmer who owned that, he's like, you know, I typically use this to water my cattle, but he's like, I do not want to bring them there because it's probably really contaminated now. Despite all this, the festival went off almost without a hitch, and it was a financial success for the promoters. On the Monday after the festival, four acts from the event, Chicago Transit Authority, Delaney, Bonnie and Friends, and The Spirit, with the addition of the Grateful Dead, who were not originally at that festival, put on a free concert in Piedmont Park. At this point, Piedmont Park had become the site of free and impromptu concerts beginning in May of 1969 with the Allman Brothers. It was billed as a quote-unquote public service for those that weren't able to attend the festival over the weekend. Originally scheduled to begin at 4 p.m., thunderstorms and a power failure pushed the music to start at 8 p.m. I talked about Atlanta's hippies in episode 204, but in 1968, Piedmont Park was the site of the city's first Be-In, which is literally just a meeting of the hippies. And there was a free concert in September of 1969, so just a few months after this, where about 1,000 to kind of 1,500 people were there for a free concert, and it turned into this giant fight with local police. So we have tear gas canisters being thrown, rocks, cans, glass bottles. This is called the Piedmont Park Hippie Riot, and this really signals the beginning of the end for Atlanta's hippie community. By the spring of 1970, Alex Cooley was busy planning the second Atlanta International Pop Festival. This time, organizers chose a three-day festival format, held it at the Middle Georgia Raceway, which was in Byron, Georgia. This is about 90 miles south of Atlanta. And they also had a couple other changes. So this time around, they fenced the perimeter, hoping to limit the attendance to paying ticket holders only. And they really tried to solve previous food and water issues by making sure they had enough for 100,000 to 150,000 people. Unfortunately, they were wholly unprepared for how many people came, and we're talking between 200,000 and 300,000 people descending on a very small town. Supplies were scarce by the end of the first day. Then Governor Lester Maddox had fought really hard to stop this festival, but when he got word of these issues, he sent in Georgia state troopers to enforce state drug laws. So they couldn't really do that. They couldn't even get into the crowd to do this. They end up kind of doing traffic control. And because of this, you have a crowd of over 200,000 people openly using marijuana, LSD, and other substances. The crowds also demanded to be let in for free, and in efforts to avoid violent clashes between them and the biker security guards, they opened the gates and made the festival free to all. Concert goers watched performances by the Allman Brothers Band, Grand Funk Railroad, the Hampton Grease Band, B.B. King, and Jimi Hendrix, who played the Star Spangled Banner to a fireworks display at midnight on the 4th of July. And let me tell you, if I could go back in time to witness something, that is high on my list. Sadly, there would be no more festivals after 1970. So between the outrage of the governor, local church leaders, parents, people who lived in Byron, the final blow came in 1971 when the Georgia General Assembly passed a law that made it almost impossible to stage another event of this size. This new law required a $1 million bond. You had to get approval from the Department of Public Health. You had to construct water and sewage facilities. Like, they really, really made this so that a concert like this could never happen again. While Atlanta never had another international pop festival, Alex Cooley rose to become the quote-unquote unofficial mayor of Atlanta music. After forming his own promotion company, he brought performers to the Fox, the Omni, Chastain Park, and Lakewood. In 1974, he opened Alex Cooley's Electric Ballroom inside the Georgian Terrace, and he later owned the Coca-Cola Roxy, the Tabernacle, and the Cotton Club. In 1980, he and Peter Conlin established a promotions company, which became one of the largest in the Southeast. They put on almost 400 shows a year. Cooley retired, and then Conlin's company was eventually purchased by Clear Channel. Alex was inducted into the Georgia Music Hall of Fame in 1987, and he was awarded a Grammy Heroes Award in 2004. So there you have it, the story of Atlanta's International Pop Festival. Thank you everyone for listening. Remember to leave a rating and or a review or listen to the podcast. There's also a Patreon link in the show notes if you want to support the work. Hope everyone has a great weekend, and I'll talk to you next week.